The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. There is no greater community builder than adoption. Welcome to Your Adoption Coach with host Kelly Ellison. If you are starting an adoption or just thinking about it, or maybe someone you know is going through an adoption and you want to help, please stay tuned over the next hour as we will educate and inspire you with some real stories and information about resources that can help. Now, here is your host, Kelly Ellison.
Thanks so much for joining us today. I have another exciting show in store for you, but first I would like to recap some of what happened at last week's show. And don't forget that if you miss a show, you can still go to our website at youradoptionfinancecoach.com and download the podcast. We had folks last week, amazing, from the National Adoption Center talking about the Wednesday's Child program. That program now in 40 cities, they're getting ready to expand across the country. They talked about how they focus foster to adopt kids over the last 40 years. They focus them in the media, TV, radio, and print, and they've created opportunities for over 23,000 children. It was a great interview. We had a team of about three folks on that show, and it was just really wonderful. If you want to get more information from the National Adoption Center, and more specifically about the Wednesday's Child program, you can check them out at adopt.org. That's adopt.org. Now, on another note, we are scheduling free online demonstrations for adoption agencies and adoption professionals who are interested in providing the adoption finance coaching system for your clients. You know that if you are in the adoption industry, that the number one barrier to adoption is the high cost. So for more information to schedule a demo and provide this innovative service of a virtual financial coach to your clients, you can reach out to us at youradoptionfinancecoach.com. We have products for every size agency and really working towards solutions to helping your families answer that question, how they'll pay for their adoption. So let's jump in. We've got a great show today. Today's show is all about post-adoption reunion, and we have with us some folks from the Gladney Center for Adoption to help us better understand this topic. The Gladney Center for Adoption, now I took this off of their website. I really liked what this said. It said for more than 125 years, Gladney has been a pioneer and leading voice for improving the lives of children, adoptive families, and birth parents. With unwavering commitment through good economic times and bad, they have focused on their mission and have made a difference in the lives of birth parents, families, and children here and around the world. And I have to say, my experience working with Gladney, Gladney is a sponsor of this show. My experience working with Gladney and their team has just been really wonderful. They have a wonderful staff, and I'm so glad to meet and bring on a couple of other staff folks, folks that I haven't met yet. So joining me today is Patty Hicks. Patty is the Director of Post-Adoption Services. She's been with Gladney since 1991 and supervises all domestic post-placement services to the birth families, adoptive families, and adult adoptees. Patty is passionate about helping parties of the adoption triad prepare for adoption through counseling and education. I also have Heather Rogers, who is the post-adoption birth mother counselor. Heather's been with Gladney since 2006, and her role as the post-adoption birth mother counselor is to provide support and counseling to birth parents after they've placed their child for adoption. And then last but not least, Janice Podell, who is the community education coordinator. And Janice is a birth mother. She's been with Gladney since 2009 and serves as a valuable resource to providing information to informative adoption presentations, rather, and information to adoptive families, connecting her own personal story to the work that she does with Gladney. Thank you all. I'm thrilled to have all of you on the show today. You can say hello.
Hello. Thank you.
Really nice to have everybody on the show, and we've got a lot of ground to cover, so I really want to just jump in. This whole topic of the whole reunion and post-adoption services and those kinds of things are this whole topic is very fascinating to me. And Patty, I'm going to start with you because your work as the director of post-adoption services, you are specifically related to. Well, tell us about your work, and then I want to know about this Texas Voluntary Registry. So first, tell us about what you do at Gladney.
Be happy to. Gladney provides post-placement services to all of our clients, our birth families, our adoptees when they grow up to be adults, and our adoptive families. Gladney believes in family forever. And a way that we provide the service of family forever is through post-placement services. And okay. Like we were talking about earlier, a large part of what we do is the reunions. That is truly a interesting part. It's one of our favorite parts, and we're thrilled to be able to share with you and your audience about that type of service.
Now, I have to tell you that about a year and a half ago, Patty, I was working with a PR firm here in Kansas City, and I was working with this man, and he connected me with one of his executive assistants who was going to help me put together some materials for a trade show. And I told her about what I did, and she said, "I'm a Gladney kid."
Oh, my.
And at first, when she said that to me, I was like, "You're a what?" You know, I just didn't really quite understand what she meant by that. And she went through this whole process of saying that she was a child that had her adoption was completed through Gladney. So she So I just found that to be very interesting. So I can attest to what you're saying about the fact that this is a lifetime commitment, family for forever, right?
Absolutely.
So the post adoption services, post meaning after the adoption is complete, those are the kinds of services that you really focus on for birth families, adoptive families, and adult adoptees. So we were talking a little bit about this Texas Voluntary Registry. Now, Gladney is located in Texas, and tell us about that. What is that?
Sure, be happy to. Here in Texas, in 1984, at the insistence of Gladney, our legislatures passed what we call the Texas Voluntary Registry Law. And what that is that has made it available for when our adoptees turn 18, when they become an adult, they are then welcome, if they are ready at that point in their life, to register to meet their birth family. And Gladney was instrumental in this because we believe in mutual things being mutual. If the adoptee is ready and the birth family is ready, gosh, we are happy to help, and we are so thrilled that here in Texas we've been given the opportunity to do that through the Texas Voluntary Registry.
Okay. So what that means is that who initiates this or who can participate in the registry? Mm-hmm. Is it if you're not 18, you cannot participate in the registry? If you're an adoptee and you're 17 years old or 15 years old, you cannot participate until you're 18?
Correct. Here in Texas, the law basically says that anybody that registers has to be over the age of 18. The people that can register is the adoptee, the birth mom, any other children that she has that are above the age of 18, birth father, and any other children that he has over the age of 18. So when the adoptee registers, they may not know quite who they're going to match with because they don't know, first of all, if anybody in the birth family has registered at all, and if they have, they're not sure which party it is.
Okay. And so if I am an adoptive family and my child, I guess I'd like you to describe to me, because most of the adoptions that are going on now are pretty open adoptions, right?
Correct.
So how does that correlate to the registry? I can see the need for the registry, you know, 10 years ago before prior internet or 20 years ago. But how is it effective now beyond just those folks who were adopted 20 years ago?
Sure. Good. Very good question.
Yeah.
The registry generally is for the parties of a more closed adoption, because sometimes in a closed adoption, maybe only first names are known. Maybe in semi-open, they may know first names and maybe the state they live in. So there is a difference in the amount of information. So the majority of adoptees who do register through GLADNY are indeed adoptees whose adoptions were done in a more closed setting. Absolutely.
Okay, so that might have been a long time ago. So I
Correct.
Can see now where, so this is really a registry that's available. Does it cost money to register if you're an adoptee or a parent? Does it cost money?
Very good question. When the state of Texas wrote the registry law, they included a small processing fee. So we have, we do charge a fee of $15, $15, just to process the application. And that is actually the only fee that's associated with the registry at all.
Wow. So if I go on and I say I am an adult adoptee and my adoption was a closed adoption, so I don't know anything about that, how can I know this information before I register? Or is it I can't find out anything until I register? Is there any information I can find out prior to that?
Correct. What? Yes. I mean, basically, because it's a mutual registry, GLADNY is not going to know whether you as an adoptee, whether your birth family members have registered or not, until we receive your application. So it's mutual. But on the other hand, the flip side of it is the birth family is not going to know whether the adoptee has registered till we get their application. The state wanted this to be so mutual and for people to register when they were ready and willing and maybe in a good place in their life, as opposed to, I'm graduating from high school, I'm 18, I'm fixing to run off to college, I need to register, I have, 3 days to do this. The state understood the significance of this. This is a huge event in an adoptee's life, and I think we're going to possibly hear a little bit more from that when Janice talks about her reunion, because it's figuring out where these people are now going to fit in this person's life, as opposed to just knowing their first and last names.
Right, right. And I think that there's probably, you have to be ready for this on both sides, obviously. And as you had said, Janice is probably going to talk a little bit about that in terms of preparing ourselves for what that might look like whether you're an adoptee or a birth mom or whatever the case might be. I'm curious about, is Texas the only voluntary registry? Is that the only one? And we've got about 30 seconds. We're going to take a break here. But is Texas the only state that does this?
No, there are actually registries in 25 of the states.
Okay. So we're just giving an example, but 25 states do have a voluntary registry. Well, that is wonderful information, Patty. Thank you. And we are just going to take a short break. You're listening to Your Adoption Coach Radio. I'm here with the team from GLADNY Center for Adoption. We're talking about post-adoption reunion. And if you'll stay with us, we'll be right back.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
Beacon House made our dream come true.
Beacon House Adoption Services is celebrating 24 years of bringing loving, adoptive families together. We are a Hague accredited, COA approved, full service adoption agency that has finalized over 5,500 domestic and international adoptions. Beacon House is the only agency offering the adoption finance coaching system, helping you raise the money for your adoption. For more information about adoption, call 1-888-987-6300. Or visit our website at www.beaconhouseadoption.com. That's 888-987-6300. Join your adoption coach and other adoption experts at Joint Council's 38th Annual Child Welfare Symposium in San Francisco from April 7 through 9. You'll hear from the world's top adoption doctors, including Dr. Elaine Schulte, addressing the first year's home with older adopted children, and the always funny Dr. Julian Davies, a Q&A session with the U.S. Department of State, and a special town hall meeting with Council on Accreditation. We'll have everything you need to know about pre- and post-adoption. Learn more at symposium.jointcouncil.org. Pure religion is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress. James 1:27. Embraced by Grace is a nonprofit agency located in Central Florida, providing children and family services. We currently process domestic and international adoptions, focusing on the 6 to 16-year-olds, who are the most unwanted people group in the world. Our heart is to find a forever home for every adoptable child. To learn more, please visit us at embracedbygrace.org. Embraced by Grace, a place where hope and destiny meet. Your nonprofit is unique. It's because of your passion and commitment to making the world a better place. At Holly & Associates, we share in your passion by providing specialized insurance products to adoption agencies around the world. Like you, we do one thing and one thing only: social service. Our knowledge of adoption is what sets us apart from the rest. We are dedicated to protecting your organization with the right insurance coverage at the most affordable price. Call us today at 1-800-914-9135 or at hawleyandassociates.com. You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we're back. Thanks so much for staying with us. A special call out to our sponsors, one being Gladney Center for Adoption, Beacon House Adoptions, America's Christian Credit Union, Holly and Associates, and Embrace by Grace. If you're interested in sponsoring our show, it is a great way to connect with adoptive parents, professionals, and others who are touched by adoption. You can find out more information at youradoptionfinancecoach.com. That's youradoptionfinancecoach.com. So before I switch over to my questions for Janice, our birth mom, and also the community education coordinator for Gladney, I want to just ask one final question, Patty, and that is, how do you find out? You said 25 states have this type of voluntary registry. How does a person find out if their state has a registry?
Very good question. My suggestion is to always go back to the agency that handled the adoption, even if it was many years ago. See if that agency is still around, because many adoption agencies like Gladney do the voluntary registry in-house for our own clients. So there's a good possibility that many agencies throughout the United States have a way to connect the adult adoptee and their birth family.
Okay, great. So if you want to know if your state has a Texas or if your state actually has a voluntary registry like Texas, you would first go to your adoption agency and find out. That's really good information. How impressive, and how impressive that Gladney spearheaded that event in 1984. I'm sure that we'll hear about a lot of this. We're going to switch our questions over to Janice Podell, who is a community education coordinator, and Janice is a birth mom, and she's here to share her experience. I'm so grateful to have you with us, Janice, and share your perspective as a birth mom with us.
Thank you.
Now, I'm going to let you tell your story.
Okay, well, and I will tell it in a kind of a short version, but thank you for having me.
Uh-huh.
I come from a long line of adoptions in my family. Both of my parents and my sister and myself were adopted. And then at the age of 16, I experienced an unplanned pregnancy. I knew that I was not prepared to be a mother at that point in my life, and I knew that my child deserved more than I was able to give to him at that point. And so I ultimately decided to place him for adoption once I had learned that the process had changed, which means that at that point I was able to choose parents for him, and I was able to choose to stay in contact with them afterwards. And it didn't used to be that way, and I don't think a lot of people understand that it is that way today. But, you know, I
ultimately chose adoption. I went with Gladney. They helped me from, you know, point A to Z, and they still continue to bless me in so many ways.
That is so amazing. So help me to understand. What you just said to us was that it wasn't how it is now.
What do you mean by that? About 20 plus years ago, the adoption process was very closed. And so there was not a lot of information that was really at all that was shared between or to the birth mother about the adoptive family and where they were at. And so there wasn't a lot of post-adoption support, really, if any. And so, the adoption process began to change because we started seeing birth mothers that had placed a child for adoption many years ago, and they were still grieving. And it was really a hard process for them. And so kind of bringing them up front to help make these decisions, I think, has really empowered women to be able to feel like they have control of this adoption plan today. So I got really lucky 18 years ago to be able to come in on this, you know, change in adoption that has just really been amazing. So
right. It sounds like I'm sure that you're familiar with Adam Pertman and the work that Adam has done in the books. Adam is the CEO of the Evan B. Donaldson Institute, but I've had him on the show several times, and just by what you said about no post-adoption support, kind of the fear and the grief and the shame around this 20 years ago. Adam writes about this and in his book, Adoption Nation, and it's very moving and very important about how that whole era has kind of been brought out from the dark, if you will.
Absolutely.
The dark ages, if you will. So I understand your son's name is Braden. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
And you still have, do you have contact with your son, Braden, now, right?
I do. I stayed in contact with his family for 17 years, and I actually have contact with him personally now. So
that
it's awesome.
Is amazing. Okay, that is wonderful. I want to share, if I can get your permission to do this. You wrote
of course.
And submit it to Brave Love. Now, I didn't know about Brave Love until I was looking on this website. I want to read a little bit about that and tell us, and then have you explain it to us and talk to us a little bit about what Brave Love is. So this is just an excerpt from Janice's letter. She wrote a letter to her son, Braden, and I wanted to share a few minutes of this. From the first moment I held you in my arms, I knew my life would never be the same. I stared at you for hours and whispered to you all of my hopes and dreams for your future. I explained to you exactly why I made my decision to place you for adoption, and I prayed that you would one day understand. I must have told you I loved you a million times and cried a million tears. It hurt so bad to let you go, but I knew that that was best for you. That's just moving. First
Thank
of all,
you.
I can't believe I got through it without crying myself.
You did good.
Yeah, thank you. Tell us a little bit about that experience, Janice.
Well, I hadn't really written him a letter directly in a very, very long time. And Brave Love is a campaign that kicked off in Dallas around 2012. And they are really just kind of a movement to help people understand adoption as it is today and to try to change people's perceptions of birth mothers. And so they were launching their website, and they decided that they would have open letters posted on their website from birth mothers to their children, from adoptees to their birth parents, from adoptive parents to birth parents, and so on. And so they asked me to write the first open letter, which, I wasn't really sure how to take it at first, because I even asked, I said, do you want me to write this letter to my infant son as if I had just placed him or as if I were going to send this to him today? And she said, I want you to do what you're comfortable with. So I chose to write it to him as if I were going to send it to him directly. And they put it up on the website. I had asked his parents' permission first before I did any of this, because since I work at Gladney and I do share our story, it's really been important to me to get their blessing anytime I've shared anything that has to do with our story. And so his mom said that the letter was fine. She couldn't wait to read it. My boss ended up writing a newsletter and featured Brave Love in my letter. And his mom had asked for us to send a hard copy to their house. And so I did, and Braden actually got it and read my letter to him for the first time. And really, it just kind of sparked his interest. And he asked his mom if he could start following me on social media. And she said yes. And it, the rest, you know, is history. It all started through social media. And so,
wow.
It's been pretty amazing.
How old was Braden when he received this letter from you?
He was 16.
Okay. So he was 16.
It was right before his 17th birthday.
Okay. But he knew, I mean, this has been since birth, this has been an open adoption. I mean, he's known about you, but he hasn't met you, or was
right.
this like well, his first contact with you?
We started out the adoption, and we agreed that it would be a semi-open adoption, which meant we were going to keep in contact through pictures and letters. And then at placement day, the day that I actually introduced him to his family, they asked me if I would be willing to meet up and have lunch with them on occasion. And they just said, you know, you've given us such an amazing gift. We can't imagine not sharing him with you. And so over the first 5 years, I did get to see him. We would meet up. We would have lunch and go to the park and just spend the day together. And I would, you know, I could see him interact with his family and watch him play and hear him giggle and really just get a sense of peace that he was where he was meant to be. And so as he got a little bit older, we stopped the visits, not for any bad reasons, but just because I wanted him to live a happy, carefree childhood. And I wanted him to have the opportunity to choose to see me one day if he wanted to. And so from about the age of 6 on, I didn't see him, but I stayed in contact with his family. So it's, you know, and his mom has always been very, very open. You know, we have a really, really great relationship. So
that is wonderful. It's really mm-hmm. wonderful. And I'm sure that you have a lot of great advice for people, for birth moms, birth parents that are in, that were in the same situation as you were in terms of that path. And you said, you know, how your son feels kind of about you making an adoption plan for his life. What is an adoption plan? And I have about 1 minute and then we're going to come back to that. But can you just kind of scope out what is an adoption plan?
An adoption plan
from
is
your perspective.
It's a positive parenting option for somebody that may not be ready to be a parent at that point in their life. And making an adoption plan basically means that you get to plan your child's future before they're ever even born. You choose their parents. You can choose where they, you know, what state that they live in, or what religious background or race that their family will be. You basically just make a plan for their future.
Okay, so the adoption plan is specific to the birth mom or the birth family, actually just stating or putting in writing in some plan what the hope is for their child, right?
We like for birth parents to sit and write a list of expectations of what they are looking for in an adoptive family, and then we will show them profiles of families that kind of meet those expectations. The adoptive families make profiles, and they're basically a scrapbook of their lives. And so this is the way that a birth mom, she goes through these scrapbooks and, you know, looks at these families and really chooses one that she feels a strong connection with.
Oh, that's really great. Really great. Janice, thank you so much for sharing. And we're not going to go away. We're just going to take a short break for a moment, but we are going to come back with our folks from the Gladney Center for Adoption, Janice, Patty, and Heather, who are talking about this whole issue around post-adoption services and around reunion. So you're listening to Your Adoption Coach Radio. Stay with us. We will be right back.
Your nonprofit is unique. It's because of your passion and commitment to making the world a better place. At Holly & Associates, we share in your passion by providing specialized insurance products to adoption agencies around the world. Like you, we do one thing and one thing only, social service. Our knowledge of adoption is what sets us apart from the rest. We are dedicated to protecting your organization with the right insurance coverage at the most affordable price. Call us today at 1-800-914-9135 or at hawleyandassociates.com.
Pure religion is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress. James 1:27.
Embraced by Grace is a nonprofit agency located in Central Florida, providing children and family services. We currently process domestic and international adoptions, focusing on the 6 to 16-year-olds, who are the most unwanted people group in the world. Our heart is to find a forever home for every adoptable child. To learn more, please visit us at embracedbygrace.org. Embraced by Grace, a place where hope and destiny meet.
Join your adoption coach and other adoption experts at Joint Council's 38th Annual Child Welfare Symposium in San Francisco from April 7 through 9. You'll hear from the world's top adoption doctors, including Dr. Elaine Schulte, addressing the first year's home with older adopted children, and the always funny Dr. Julian Davies, a Q&A session with the U.S. Department of State, and a special town hall meeting with Council on Accreditation. We'll have everything you need to know about pre- and post-adoption. Learn more at symposium.jointcouncil.org.
Beacon House made our dream come true.
Beacon House Adoption Services is celebrating 24 years of bringing loving, adoptive families together. We are a Hague accredited, COA approved, full service adoption agency that has finalized over 5,500 domestic and international adoptions. Beacon House is the only agency offering the adoption finance coaching system, helping you raise the money for your adoption. For more information about adoption, call 1-888-987-6300. Or visit our website at www.beaconhouseadoption.com. That's 888-987-6300.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we are back. I do want to do a call out for the Joint Council on International Children's Services. They are holding their 38th Annual Child Welfare Symposium. Fun place, and so everyone needs to go. It's in San Francisco, California on April 7th through the 10th. That's San Francisco, April 7th through the 10th. Late registrations are taken until March 24th. Sponsors include Adoption Net, Gladney, Center for Adoption, Spence Chapin, Children and Family Services, and, of course, your very own Your Adoption Finance Coach, and many, many more. Check them out. It's a great conference. This will be my second year that I've been to this particular conference at jointcouncil.org. That's jointcouncil.org. And we are back with our team from the Gladney Center for Adoption. To find out more information about Gladney, you can jump online at gladney.org. That's gladney.org to find out more information about their programs. They have some amazing programs. Gladney is an amazing agency. And we have really loved working with them through sponsorship of this show, but then also through some of the other programs. And we're talking with a team talking about this whole idea of the post-adoption reunion. And I have several folks with me, Patty Hicks, who is the director of post-adoption services, Janice Podell, who just talked with us, who is a birth mother, but is also the community education coordinator. We're going to have Heather Rogers, the post-adoption birth mother counselor, jump in here in just a few minutes. I just want to ask one question, Janice, before we move into this next segment. What is your opinion right now of, I mean, you've experienced this firsthand. What's your opinion of open adoption and how the internet is really changing the face of adoption?
Well, you know, I think it gives people a lot more access to information. You know, a lot more reunions are happening because of the internet, because of Facebook and Instagram and, you know, social media websites like that. And, you know, part of it is it's wonderful that people are able to do that, but it also, it can be a little touchy at times, just because sometimes whenever you, if you reach out as a birth mother or an adoptee to that other person through internet without actually going to the agency first, you don't really necessarily know what's going on in that other person's life or if it's the right time. Just like Patty said, you know, we want to know that everybody's in a good place in their life when this reunion happens. And so I think that the internet, it obviously gives people an outlet to learn about adoption from the comfort of their home. But it, you know, it makes an outlet for more reunions to happen, and they can either be really, really wonderful, or there can be a little bit of stress that, you know, is added to that just because of the, you know, lack of mediation between the two.
So really kind of to all of you, how would you recommend, if you don't have an agency like Gladney that is, you know, kind of like holding your hand and walking you through this process, and you are a birth mom or you are an adult adoptee and you do want to have a reunion, are there some ground rules here? Is there a place where folks can go to kind of go, okay, what are the things I need to be concerned about from both sides?
Patty, I think that's a great question for you.
Yeah.
Thank you. This is Patty. I always recommend, like you mentioned, Kelly, in the beginning, checking with the agency that handled the adoption. If they don't provide the service, they probably have a list of resources locally that they could refer you to. Another idea is to talk to, here in Texas, it would be the Bureau of Vital Statistics, which houses the Central Adoption Registry. And that registry is for agencies in Texas that are no longer in existence. So those employees actually have resources that can, as people are beginning to make the decision to make contact with their counterpart, whether they're the birth family or the adoptee, making contact with the Central Adoption Registry is an incredible way, because they manage the registries for agencies no longer here, but they also have a list of resources.
Okay. So I want to take this kind of to the next level. So we've really been talking a lot about probably domestic adoption, you know, infant adoption to adoptive parents, that type of reunion. So my daughter is from China. And I've said this before on the show, in a conversation, a show that I had with Adam Pertman. And Adam actually said to me, your daughter, when, you know, the internet has changed the face of adoption so much that probably your daughter, when she's, you know, 17, 18 years old, will be able to get on the internet, find her village in China, you know. And honestly, it struck me. I was like, oh my gosh. So what about international adoption? What has to happen, or are there any steps for that process, just as there would be steps for the domestic process? Do we know?
Very good question. This is Patty, and I will try to answer that. The way I look at, or the way we can look at international adoption, is probably how domestic adoption was born or done back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, when there was very little information being shared at all. The difference with our international sweet children that, you know, come from foreign countries, a lot of times the birth family information is not known.
Right.
And that's the toughest part. But there are many situations, many cases that I can think of personally, where our sweet adoptees have gone back to the village where they were born, or the orphanage where they lived, or the church where they were, you know, found, whatever their situation is. And they may or may not can make contact with their specific birth mom. You know, that's information, because everybody's adoption is so different. But what they can begin to figure out is to find that orphanage, find that village, find that community, find that culture. Those are the things that are going to help them understand who they are. Because you're correct, Kelly, there is a possibility that they may not meet their birth mom, because that information to the professionals sometimes is not even known.
That's right. That's right. And what Adam was talking about during this broadcast was the fact that that information could be more readily available as we get more access to information, and obviously becomes more available on the internet. I've even had folks, I had a young woman, Astrid Dabini, who was on the show, who talked about a reunion. Astrid and her sister found their birth mother in Colombia.
Absolutely.
and went on vacation, just on vacation to Colombia, and actually found and spoke about that on the show. It was a moving broadcast. So I think there are, you know, different ramifications. I want to bring Heather in because I don't want to lose my time here, my timeline here. This is such an interesting topic for me. And I want to pick up with you, Heather, your role as the post-adoption department. This really puts you right in the center. So your role as a post-adoption birth mother counselor is to provide support and counseling to birth parents after they've placed a child for adoption. What questions do you tell us about that experience? How, you know, your daily life. Tell us about that, Heather.
Well, no day is ever the same.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really get the opportunity to work with birth parents who have experienced adoption recently, or maybe they placed years ago. I work with primarily women. I primarily work with birth mothers, but who have placed, you know, someone could have placed a child 50 years ago, and it could be a birth mother that placed as recently as a month ago. So you can imagine the different stages that these women are in vary, and so it kind of depends on where she is in her journey.
And so you help that birth mom or birth parent, and I want to talk a little bit about birth dad here too, but because I don't want to make the presumption that it's only birth mom. I know that you said there are predominantly women that you work with. Do you work with the couple also, or are there any situations where you actually work with the birth father?
I do work with birth fathers, yes. We offer post-adoption services to the birth family. So birth mother, birth father, if their family is involved, we're happy to work with them, provide counseling. We look at post-adoption separately, so we allow birth mothers to have their post-adoption and birth fathers to have theirs, so they don't have to come in together. So let's say a couple planned adoption together, but then a couple years down the road, they were no longer in a relationship or no longer in touch with each other. We would still provide those services to them separately. And I do provide counseling to birth fathers and support to them as well. It's just not as prominent as with the birth moms.
So Heather, when you provide the kinds of counseling that you're suggesting, is this grief counseling? Is this counseling to help them find the child? Is it what, you know, or does it just vary? Is it just across the board in terms of what the needs are?
It's a lot of grief and loss counseling, especially up front, especially if it's a more current adoption, but, you know, grief is something that is a cycle that people go through, but it can come back up down the road, even when you've worked through it before. And so when we work with birth moms who are at the stage of if they've registered or they're about to have a reunion with the adoptee, a lot of times it brings up some of those emotions that they thought they had dealt with 18 plus years ago. So we do deal with that as well. They can come back up even down the road when you thought, okay, I've worked through this, I'm doing really well. And it's a very exciting time, but it can also be a very big emotional roller coaster.
So this is a service it's an amazing service, actually, that Gladney is offering. This is a service that they offer to, you would have to have placed your child through Gladney, is that right? Or is that pretty much who you're offering these ongoing services to?
The one-on-one counseling is typically to someone who has placed a child through Gladney. We do have support groups. We have one big support group in DFW, which is where we're located. We have a couple in our regional offices. Those are open to birth mothers who have placed a child, period. It doesn't matter what agency.
Okay, wonderful. And so is this information on the website, Gladney.org?
It is.
It is. Okay. So again, if you're interested in this, Heather provides the type of counseling that would be available for a birth mom, birth parents, or birth father in this regard in terms of counseling for after they have placed the child. And again, if you want to get more information about the services that Gladney provides, you can go to Gladney.org, which is their website. That's Gladney.org. And again, a call out to our sponsors, America's Christian Credit Union, Beacon House Adoptions, Gladney Center for Adoption, Embraced by Grace and Holly and Associates. Please go to our website. website at voiceamerica.com. Click on those banners. Let them know that you're checking out their wonderful services. You're listening to Your Adoption Coach Radio. I'm Kelly Ellison. Stay with us. We'll be right back with our last segment.
Join your adoption coach and other adoption experts at Joint Council's 38th Annual Child Welfare Symposium in San Francisco from April 7 through 9. You'll hear from the world's top adoption doctors, including Dr. Elaine Schulte, addressing the first year's home with older adopted children, and the always funny Dr. Julian Davies, a Q&A session with the U.S. Department of State, and a special town hall meeting with Council on Accreditation. We'll have everything you need to know about pre- and post-adoption. Learn more at symposium.jointcouncil.org.
Beacon House made our dream come true.
Beacon House Adoption Services is celebrating 24 years of bringing loving, adoptive families together. We are a Hague accredited, COA approved, full service adoption agency that has finalized over 5,500 domestic and international adoptions. Beacon House is the only agency offering the adoption finance coaching system, helping you raise the money for your adoption. For more information about adoption, call 1-888-987-6300. Or visit our website at www.beaconhouseadoption.com. That's 888-987-6300.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
Pure religion is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress. James 1:27. Embraced by Grace is a nonprofit agency located in Central Florida, providing children and family services. We currently process domestic and international adoptions, focusing on the 6 to 16-year-olds, who are the most unwanted people group in the world. Our heart is to find a forever home for every adoptable child. To learn more, please visit us at embracedbygrace.org. Embraced by Grace, a place where hope and destiny meet.
Your nonprofit is unique. It's because of your passion and commitment to making the world a better place. At Holly & Associates, we share in your passion by providing specialized insurance products to adoption agencies around the world. Like you, we do one thing and one thing only: social service. Our knowledge of adoption is what sets us apart from the rest. We are dedicated to protecting your organization with the right insurance coverage at the most affordable price. Call us today at 1-800-914-9135 or at hawleyandassociates.com.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we're back. Thanks so much for staying with us. We're learning a lot today about the post-adoption and reunion experience through Gladney Center for Adoption. Information about Gladney, you can find their information on their website at gladney.org. We've had a wonderful visit from Patty Hicks, who is the Director of Post-Adoption Services with Gladney. She's been with them since 1991. Heather Rogers, Post-Adoption Birth Mother Counselor, been with Gladney since 2006, and Janice Podell, who is the Adoption Education Coordinator, been with Gladney since 2009. Janice was also kind enough to share her personal experience as a birth mother and her open letter that she sent to her son, Braden, and that whole experience. Such a wonderful, rich experience this can be if it's handled correctly. And I think that's, I can hear all of you going, yeah, I think that that's really important. So Patty, on, I'm going to bring you back in terms of the adoption triad. Love that statement I shared with you over the break, that I've also heard it as the adoption constellation. such an important process of this process. And any of those folks that are in the triad makes up, tell us again, birth parents,
adoptive parents, and the adult adoptee, the child.
Okay, great. And so advice that you would give to each one of those parties in terms of preparing for reunion.
Absolutely. Thank you for asking. I'm happy to do that. Let's start with the adoptive parents. And I think that Janice has talked a little bit about the types of adoptions done today, a little bit more open. I think adoptive parents have been educated to understand that there is a huge possibility that their child, when they become ready, generally as an adult, that they are probably going to want to meet their birth family at some point. And as a professional, I think we can all understand that. Adoptive families have asked me over the years, does it mean that my child is looking for a new mother? No, what it means is they want to be able to thank the person that gave them life. You know, and how do you not want to make contact with the person that loved them enough and loved them selflessly enough to give them life? That makes sense. And a lot of our a lot of the times when the adoptee and his or her family meet the birth family, the connection is just as huge as it was when that adoption took place. So there is a connecting of the two families, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So adoptive parents, just be, you know, understand that there probably will come a point in time in the adoptee's life that they're going to want to do this. Doesn't mean everybody, doesn't mean every adoptee. It doesn't mean every adoptee is ready to do this at 18. That's the beauty of having a mutual consented registry, that it happens when both parties are ready. From the birth family's perspective, I hope that we can share that without a shadow of a doubt, these children grow up knowing they're adopted and loving their birth family and respecting their birth family for the decision that they made in planning this adoption. And that respect and love comes from their mom and dad. So our families are raising our children to love and respect their birth family and to be proud that their birth family loved them enough to first of all give them life, but then to make the adoption plan that Janice talked about earlier. And then for our adoptees, that it is certainly okay if they want to meet their birth family. Professionals are supportive. Generally, adoptive parents are supportive, and birth families are supportive. So when they are ready, when they are in a good place, when they are ready to meet the birth family, meet the lady that chose life for them, that to please contact their agency and let their agency do this, because we want this to be the best thing that's ever happened.
Yeah, it needs to be a memorable experience. An experience.
Absolutely.
It is, yeah. Janice, would you add to that at all?
I would just say, you know, as far as the open adoptions that are so common today, you know, I think I always tell the girls that we interact with is to base your relationship off of trust and respect and boundaries. And I think that those three things need to be even more prominent when it comes to a reunion and to, you know, like Patty said, make sure that everybody is in a good place in life and that they're all ready for this. It can be a really, really beautiful thing, but it is very emotional. That's a whole other aspect that, you know, you kind of have to prepare for as a birth mother and as an adoptive parent. I think for the adoptee, it's more exciting than anything, but the two moms that are involved, it's a pretty emotional process, but it also can be a really, really beautiful, amazing experience if it's done, you know, based on respect and trust and boundaries. So
Right. I even to just hear you talk about this from my perspective, just to think about going to China and my daughter and I, we as a family, we've talked about this. Oh, wouldn't it be fun when we're ready to go to China together? You know, wouldn't it be fun? It makes me nervous inside. It makes me excited inside.
Yes, it is a myriad of emotions, believe me,
that are happening. So I know there are others out there that are feeling the same way. Heather, final thoughts from you, any advice that you might give or anything that you might add to what Janice and Patty have said today?
You know, I think both of them both gave great advice. The one thing I would add is I think when that time comes, if it's mutual know, both parties are ready to meet, it can be very exciting, and it can be something that you want to happen very fast. My advice would be let it happen organically. Take the time to think about it. Work through some of those emotions that may come up. Don't rush it because, like Jana said, it can be a beautiful experience, but you want it to be a beautiful experience. So make sure to take the time to let it become that. You know, I think a lot of people want it to happen really fast once they get to that point. And it's good to just kind of take a step back and breathe and
right,
let it just grow into what it needs to be.
Right. Thank you all. Well, Patty, Janice, Heather, thank you all. Such a dedicated team from Gladney Center for Adoption. And again, if you want to get more information from them about this topic or any of the services that Gladney provides, you can go to gladney.org. That's gladney.org. And I know that their team is ready to answer your questions or assist you in any way. And thank you all for being with us today. What a great topic. So,
thank you.
Yes, thanks. So before we go, I want to just invite folks, as I mentioned earlier, I'm going to be at the JCICS conference. That's the Joint Council on International Children's Services, their 38th Annual Child Welfare Symposium. You can join me during the lightning talks on Tuesday, April 8th, as I discuss financing adoption in a rapid-fire five-minute presentation. That should be fun. And before we go, we're going to close with our financial tip from America's Christian Credit Union. Look for grants, run a search for adoption grants online, ask your employer, church, or community group if they would consider contributing to the cause. America's Christian Credit Union is here to provide financial resources to Christians, including adoption loans. You can visit them at americaschristiancu.com for more details. They have lots of wonderful products, including loans and grants that they can provide assistance for you. That's www.americaschristiancu.com. I want to thank again our guests, Patty, Janice, and Heather, for being with us today. What a great show. If you like the show, if you have a suggestion or a story you'd like to share, you can reach me at coach@youradoptioncoachradio.com, or you can find me at my webpage at youradoptionfinancecoach.com. Next week, tune in again. We'll be here at the same time, same place. In the meantime, have a great week.
We hope today's program gave you some inspiration as well as information about adoption. Please tune in next Saturday at 12 noon Pacific Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Time for another edition of Your Adoption Coach on the Voice America Variety Channel. Thank you again for listening. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.